From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gustina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, New York State is the last state to approve mixed martial arts. Our political observer Alan Shartok shares his thoughts on New York lawmakers saying they won't include ethics reform in budget negotiations. And Senator Schumer promotes legislation to empower disabled people. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. New York State becomes the last state in the nation to legalize mixed martial arts following a vote in the Assembly this week. The bill was placed on the floor for a vote after a majority of Democrats backed the legislation. More now from the Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt.
During debate on the Assembly floor, opponents urged the state to continue its ban on mixed martial arts, also known as ultimate fighting. Assemblywoman Ellen Jaffe from the Hudson Valley says the activity is sanctioning violence for profit and has no place in New York.
Except for those who stand to profit from this barbaric entertainment masquerading as a sport, cage fighting causes great harm. It harms the fighters who risk their very lives and are often maimed or sometimes killed. Despite claimed efforts to clean up and regulate MMA, the fact is, it continues to expose fighters to serious injury.
Opponents argue there's growing data on the potential dangers of concussions in football and head injuries caused by boxing, and urge their colleagues to wait before approving mixed martial arts. Assemblyman Danny O'Donnell from Manhattan, who is openly gay, compared it to pornography.
Well, I should really like it. You have two nearly naked hot men rolling around on top of one another, trying to dominate each other. And just in case you don't know, that's gay porn with a different ending, okay?
O'Donnell blamed campaign contributions from the ultimate fighting industry for growing support of MMA in the Assembly. But backers say the time has come to legalize a sport that's perfectly okay to practice in every other state in the country. Bill's sponsor and Assembly Majority Leader Joe Morelli says he's become a supporter after initially opposing MMA because he says other sports have been played for decades are also violent.
Boxing, single-discipline martial arts, and mixed martial arts are violent by their nature. So are football, hockey, basketball. In fact, most competitive sports, from pole vaulting to race car driving, carry a degree of risk and danger. It is the responsibility and duty of policymakers to create a framework where the risks are mitigated and we empower regulators to ensure that that mitigation is maximized. That's what the bill before you is intended to do.
Morelli, a Rochester Democrat, says the fighting competitions are already happening underground in New York anyway. He says regulating the sport will be much safer for everyone involved. The bill would help provide health insurance for the participants, including neurological tests.
What we seek to do here is to take the sport essentially out of the shadows in New York.
Governor Cuomo spoke in favor of mixed martial arts during an event in Niagara Falls.
I understand there's divided opinion on mixed martial arts. Some people believe it's violent, and by the way, it's violent. But football is violent, boxing is violent, politics can be violent, right?
Legalizing mixed martial arts will also provide money for the state. Cuomo has already included $1 million in anticipated revenues in his state budget plan from taxes imposed on the fights. He calls it an economic generator.
We met with the owners of mixed martial arts. They're committed to doing shows in New York and doing shows in New York in areas that would bring people from out of state into New York. You know, if Buffalo hosts a show, and you get people from Canada coming to Buffalo to see mixed martial arts, that's a good thing.
Even with a new law, no mixed martial arts matches could be held in New York for at least 6 more months. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. Alan, well, this week, New York became the last state in the nation to legalize mixed martial arts. Following a vote in the Assembly Tuesday, the Senate has passed it for years. It now goes to the governor's desk. He says he'll sign it.
What are we, crazy? I mean, the glorification of violence, which is what this is, seems to be right out of the Marie Antoinette. Yeah, I know she may never have said it, but as far as I'm concerned, she did say it. And you know, the whole concept of let them eat cake, it's right here. What in the world could prompt these politicians, not only in this state, but as you just mentioned, in every other state, to say, yeah, let these guys get in there and women, too, beat the hell out of each other, you know, in order to just keep the voters and the other folks happy? It's insanity. As far as I'm concerned, by the way, I know this one won't be popular. I'd say, you know, ban all boxing, ban all football. What, you mean we're training our kids to bang their heads together so that they have severe neurological problems for the rest of their lives? Look at what it did to Muhammad Ali. So to me, this is insanity. And the legislature and the governor ought to be ashamed of themselves.
Well, speaking of shame, Alan, you've been talking about this years. You always warn. Some people call you a cynic for it. But New York lawmakers say they won't include ethics reform in negotiations over the state budget.
Wow. I'm so surprised. I love the way the whole system works. The rank-and-file legislators go out there and say, yes, we have to have ethics reform. Then the leaders get in the room and they say, no, we're not going to do it. Now, what? Are the leaders not listening to the people who elected them to their high and exalted and omnipotent posts? The answer is no. What kind of game is this? They elect these guys so that they'll take the heat. As we know, Mr. Hastie, Carl Hastie, is the new speaker. He took Shelley Silver's place. But the game goes on. And that is, you take the heat, and you were the boss of the Bronx. We knew what we were doing when we elected you to be the boss of the legislature. You're going to represent us, and you're going to say, hey, we're not going to limit our outside income the way the governor wants. He wants us only to get $11,000 extra. We're going to come up with this verschlugene concept that you're going to get a large percentage of what a state Supreme Court justice gets. Where did they come up with that kind of nonsense? And to allow them, you know, tens of thousands of dollars more in what I consider to be morally imbegotten gains. You know, you're a lawyer and a legislator, and everybody goes to the lawyer who is the legislator figuring, hey, can't hurt me. I can get something out of this. You know, it's disgusting. And they're fooling a lot of people. Along come people, some of the good government groups. One of them who drive me nuts lately is Dick Daty of the Citizens Union. He says, yeah, this isn't a good thing, but I have real hope for the guy they've just appointed, who is from the governor's own group, to be the head of the Ethics Commission, which is going to be looking at the governor. Come on, Mr. Daty, you don't want to do that kind of thing. And the Citizens Union deserves better than that. So do I understand what's going on with the so-called goo-goo groups when they do something like that? What they're doing is they're basically saying, okay, look at what we've gotten for you. We've gotten ethics reform. Yeah, well, it's pretty tepid ethics reform, and they should be doing better.
From ethics reform to corruption, Dean Skelos and his son, Alan, asked a judge to spare them a prison sentence for their act.
So, David, of course. I mean, what are lawyers for? They have been caught doing very bad things in terms of using their offices. There's a law against it. They did it. They got caught. And Preet Bharara put everything into it that he possibly could. Same thing with Sheldon Silver. I don't get any great satisfaction out of seeing anyone go to jail. But what can the message be? You steal, and then you say to the judge, well, we've done some real good things in life, and they have, and therefore we shouldn't put us in jail at all. Well, obviously you would ask your lawyer to ask the judge the same thing. It'll be interesting to see if that's what happens.
You spoke with the chancellor of the State University of New York this week, Nancy Zimpfer, about a number of subjects, including an idea to put student teachers in K-12 classrooms.
Well, that's right. You know, there are some communities which don't want to let state university students who are studying education into their classrooms. And that doesn't sit well with our wonderful Chancellor of SUNY, who herself is an education person, and who knows if you can't train people in situ, in the sites where they're going to be teaching in, you haven't got anything. So what, you can only train people in classrooms where people who have very little in the way of resources, their children are going to go? That doesn't make any sense at all. So there have got to be rules and regulations in place that will say to schools, no matter where they are, no matter how rich they are, no, you're going to be a place where student teachers are going to be allowed to come. In the same way you wouldn't imagine a medical system which didn't allow for the training of interns so that they could know what they were doing when they got to be grown-up real doctors.
Stick with medical for a second, Alan, and you've spoken with the mayor of Ithaca, New York, Svante Myrick, a number of times for your Capital Connection program, and we've spoken about his idea to have a safe heroin injection site in his city. The Times sort of profiled it this week. It's just an update on this idea that we've been hearing editorialized about from Canada and other places in the world.
David, we don't like the idea that the state supports addiction. And the problem has always been that if there are some reasonable ideas, we know that heroin is an epidemic in New York and in across the nation. Along comes a courageous young mayor of Ithaca. And what does he say? He says, look, we know that if somebody uses a needle twice, that the ideas of transmitting disease, very serious diseases, and really harming themselves almost to the point of mortality, of death, is always present. So if they're an addict and they can prove it and they can come in and they say, okay, can I have a clean needle to do my habit? Can I have that? The answer is, of course you should have that. And the idea that we would say, oh, we can't do that because it would be encouraging addiction is just nonsense. An addict is an addict. We have been giving out, for example, methadone for years to people who have a heroin addiction. We don't say in that case, well, we're not going to do methadone because, it might encourage people. Yeah, there's no question. There's some people take the methadone, somehow get outside, sell it. But the vast number of people who are using it are benefiting for it, and we are protecting their lives.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Charton. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. U.S. Senator Charles Schumer this week visited Wildwood Programs in the town of Guilderland, New York, promoting legislation he says would empower disabled people. The Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas was there and filed this report.
Schumer said it is fitting he is announcing a new initiative during March, Developmental Disabilities Awareness Month. The Democrat would like to see the disabled have the option to receive help rather than be institutionalized.
People with disabilities should not be denied the choice to receive at-home care and support services. We should not discriminate against the disabled, which is a hallmark of our society. And so this system needs to be fixed. So today I'm calling on Congress to pass new legislation, which I have authored, called the Disability Integration Act, because we have to do everything in our power to make sure that those with disabilities have the resources needed to live and thrive in the comfort of their own homes or their own communities, if they so choose.
State Assemblyman Angelo Santa Barbara's teenage son, Michael, who is autistic, is a student at Wildwood.
I have a similar package in the New York State Assembly called Autism Action New York. This is something that the senator now is bringing to us as something that's going to offer choices.
Schumer, sponsor and author of the bill, says the legislation will grant individuals with disabilities more independence, more comfort and freedom, while saving them money. As for the cost of the bill,
in some cases it will save money, It's cheaper to have somebody at home, costs less to have someone at home. In some cases, it will cost money because the people who are at home, disabled persons at home, the family is often paying for disabled services itself. Once we introduce it, we'll get an estimate from CBO, but it's not guaranteed that it's going to cost a lot of money. Remember, institutionalization costs a lot.
He defines a lot as $91,000 a year per person on average. Schumer adds that his legislation will lessen the emotional burden that faces family members when caring for loved ones with disabilities who are not receiving necessary services and support.
The bill is a win-win-win. I'm going to put my muscle behind it in the Congress, and hopefully next time I come back at Wildwood, we'll be able to say we passed the Disabilities Integration Act, and here's the next piece of legislation we're going to work on.
Schumer says he became aware of the plight of the disabled when advocates came to him and told him how much change was needed.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
One of New York's medical marijuana dispensaries is calling on Google to accept its ads. In addition, the company's CEO accuses the global search engine of retaliation. The Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn has details.
Vireo Health of New York CEO Ari Hoffnung last week called on Google to stop rejecting its medical cannabis ads. Hoffnung says Google AdWords, however, did accept two ads several weeks ago that did not use the terms medical cannabis or medical marijuana, yet now those have been rejected as well.
We received what seems to be an automated email on Friday afternoon at about 4 p.m. Stating that our ads have now been rejected, and that Google prohibits the promotion of recreational marijuana, which is just a baffling reason to disapprove our ads.
Baffling, he says, given recreational marijuana use is illegal in New York. Moreover, Hoffnung interprets the latest rejection as retaliatory, given that just a few days earlier, he went public with his plea for Google to accept medical marijuana ads from companies like his operating in states where it is legal.
And it's quite unfortunate in our minds that Google has chosen retaliation instead of engagement and dialogue.
A Google spokesperson, in an emailed response, pointed to the company's global policies that generally restrict the promotion of healthcare-related content, such as prescription medication. Google also has an ad policy about banning the promotion of substances that alter mental state for the purpose of recreation or otherwise induce highs, such as marijuana. The policy does not distinguish between recreational and medical marijuana at the state level. In New York, it is not legal to smoke medical marijuana. Additional requests for comment from Google about why the two generic ads were rejected were not answered. The emailed reason from Google AdWords to Hoffnung cites recreational drugs, services, and related equipment. Hoffnung reads the ads that did not contain the words medical cannabis or marijuana.
Vireo Health of New York. Our medical marijuana dispensaries are now serving cancer patients. Vireo Health of New York. Our medical marijuana dispensaries are now serving HIV/AIDS patients. That's what they're rejecting.
Hoffnung says he has attempted to reach Google executives via email, phone, and FedEx to discuss the matter to no avail. He wrote directly to Google's co-founders March 15th.
Imagine Google telling Hershey's they couldn't use the word chocolate, or Ford they can't use the word car, or WAMC that they can't use the word radio in their advertisements. Google is severely limiting the way we're able to communicate with our patients.
Hoffnung says he has tried placing ads only with Google, given its mammoth reach. He still holds out hope that Google executives will come to the table for discussion. Vireo Health of New York is one of five companies licensed by the New York State Department of Health to produce and sell medical cannabis. Vireo has locations in White Plains and Westchester County, Queens, Binghamton, and Albany.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Now that spring is here, road crews around the state are beginning their work, and officials are warning drivers to slow down. The Legislative Gazette's Lucas Willard has more.
National Grid is joining with local highway officials across New York with a simple message, slow down. At a demonstration in Saratoga County Wednesday, National Grid Upstate New York Regional Director Melanie Littlejohn says the springtime work season is here. Line workers are already on the roads with their reflective gear and hard hats.
So we really want to get ahead of this and begin to just heighten the awareness with the public to say, please keep the men and women who are your family members, your neighbors, please help keep them safe.
National Grid, working with Saratoga County, set up a simulated work zone outside Hyatt Place in Malta, complete with two work trucks, safety cones, and workers with flashing stop signs. Dwayne Beach is a line worker with 27 years of experience and also a safety advocate with IBEW Local 97.
We have cones and wheel chucks out, and we have a flagger in the road flagging traffic by. This is what you would see if you were coming into one of our work zones and we were accessing our utility.
Distracted drivers are also a concern. Beach reminded motorists to keep their eyes off their onboard computers and smartphones and on the road.
People can become distracted very easily, and you take your eyes off the road for 1 second could lead to a catastrophic event.
National Grid says that since 2013, there have been nearly 40 incidents involving members of the public encroaching work zones either in vehicles or on foot. Saratoga County Deputy Commissioner of Public Works Tom Spezial says that with the warm winter, crews were out early cutting branches and clearing brush ahead of the spring work schedule. Spezial said road work will be in full swing in the coming weeks. He said most, if not all, of the 140 county highway workers are already out in the field every day. The county maintains 363 miles of two-lane highway.
Not just 5 days a week. We respond to emergencies just as National Grid does. When we have storms, we're out there. In the wintertime, we're out there 24 hours sometimes.
Littlejohn says National Grid will be investing $1.4 billion in upstate infrastructure in the next few years, which means more crews out on the roads.
They do dangerous work in dangerous locations, and we really want to advise the public to slow down so that we can avoid and continue to avoid serious accidents.
The U.S. Department of Transportation Federal Highway Administration's National Work Zone Awareness Week begins April 11th.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Lucas Willard.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1613, or just listen on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.